Let's read together Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. In this first half of Matthew chapter 1, we have the genealogy of the Lord Jesus back to Abraham. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. And Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiud, Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok, Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar, Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Let's begin our study of Matthew chapter 1 with some background notes. The author of the gospel, according to Matthew, was the disciple Matthew. He was also called Levi, according to Mark 2:14. We read about Matthew's call to be a disciple in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. So Matthew had been a publican or Jewish tax collector before becoming a follower of Jesus. Tax collectors, as you might suspect, were not well liked in Israel, not only because nobody likes to pay taxes, but also because these Jewish tax collectors were collecting taxes from their fellow citizens for the Roman government. Remember, Rome was in power at this time, so these publicans or tax collectors would be looked on as traitors and thieves. Even though Matthew was not a popular and well-liked figure, the Lord chose him to be a disciple. And not only to be a disciple, but to write a gospel. So here we have the gospel or good news of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, one of the 12 disciples. Now, in reference to this genealogy of Christ that we have before us, let us consider two points before we move on to our doctrinal points. Point number one is that this is a genealogy and not a chronology. In a chronology, there are no gaps, and the number of years are given. In a genealogy, not every link has to be mentioned, and the ages and the total number of years does not have to be given. In a genealogy, for example, you can go from grandfather to grandson with the word begot. Now, if you compare this genealogy in Matthew chapter 1 to the genealogies that we have in the Old Testament, we find that Matthew has purposely left out a few names and structured this genealogy according to three time periods, as we see there in verse 17. 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the Jewish captivity in Babylon, and 14 generations from the Jewish captivity in Babylon until Christ. The second point we want to mention is that when you compare this genealogy with the genealogy of our Lord in Luke chapter 3, we find that it is not the same. So why the difference? Most likely, the genealogy in Luke chapter 3 is the lineage of our Lord back through Mary, his mother, to King David. Matthew's genealogy is the Lord's lineage back through Joseph to King David. It was through Joseph that our Lord had the legal right and claim to the throne of David. But the Lord, of course, was not the natural son of Joseph. He was the natural son of Mary by virgin birth. And Mary was also in the line of David. The truth of the virgin birth is protected here in verse 16, but it's not obvious in the English language. Verse 16, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." The phrase, "by whom was born Jesus," in the English language, sounds like it could refer to both Mary and Joseph as parents. But in the Greek language, the "by whom" is feminine singular, leaving no doubt that the Bible teaches the virgin birth of Christ. Another background note. In verse 12, the Jeconiah mentioned here is the same as King Jehoiakim, who was deported to Babylon in 597 BC. In Jeremiah chapter 22, he is called Coniah, and a curse was pronounced upon this evil king. No descendant of his would occupy the throne of David. I'm reading Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. "Is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol, a vessel in which is no pleasure? Why are they cast out, he and his descendants, and cast into a land which they do not know? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." So no physical descendant of King Jehoiakim will ever occupy the throne of David. And yet, this king, Jeconiah, King Jehoiakim, is in the genealogy of Christ. However, the curse does not affect our Lord, because Jesus was not a physical descendant of King Jehoiakim. He has the legal right to the throne of David through Jehoiakim, but he is a physical descendant of King David through Mary. Mary, remember, was also in the line of David. And our Lord will occupy the throne of David when he returns to this earth and sets up his millennial kingdom. Certainly more we could give for background. We need to move now to our doctrinal points. So doctrinal teaching point number one. The genealogy of Christ proves that Jesus was the promised Messiah. The genealogy of Christ proves that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Question, what was Matthew's purpose in writing this gospel? Answer, to show conclusively that Jesus was the Messiah and King who was promised in the Old Testament scriptures. Matthew was writing primarily for a Jewish audience and answering logical questions that would come up in the Jewish mind concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be the Jewish Messiah. Messiah means anointed one. The Messiah would be the son of David and king. If Jesus was indeed the Messiah, were his claims backed up by his lineage? And if Jesus was really the rightful king, then why did he fail to set up his kingdom and ascend the throne of David at that time? All of these questions are answered in this wonderful gospel of the king, the gospel of Matthew. And right here in the beginning of the gospel, we see the messianic line of Jesus. He indeed had a royal lineage. He was in the line of Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, and he was in the line of David, the promised Messiah and King. The genealogy of Christ proves that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Doctrinal point number two. The genealogy of Christ proves that God is a gracious God. The genealogy of Christ proves that God is a gracious God. Where do we see this doctrinal point taught here in the genealogy of Christ? We see it in the four Old Testament women who are referred to in this genealogy: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. Tamar pretended to be a prostitute and committed adultery with her father-in-law, Judah. Read about this in Genesis chapter 38. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab and Ruth were Gentiles, and Bathsheba committed adultery. Women are rarely mentioned in Jewish genealogical tables, especially if they are Gentiles or known sinners. But here, we see the grace of God in his sovereign choice of including these women in the genealogy of the coming Messiah. Another question. When was it determined that these four women would be part of the lineage of Christ? Answer. It was predetermined in the eternal counsels of God before the world began. Certainly, the inclusion of these four women in the genealogy of Christ is a strong indication that the coming of Christ would bring salvation to sinners and that his salvation would be available for anyone. The genealogy of Christ proves that God is a gracious God. Now, what about practical application? Don't dismiss the designs in Scripture. Don't dismiss the designs in Scripture. Because the Bible is the Word of God, it is infallible and inerrant. It does not and cannot contain error. Furthermore, because the Bible is the Word of God, it is perfectly arranged. The arrangement of Scripture includes literary designs and numerical designs. For example, it has been shown that there is a beautiful numerical design in the Greek text here in the first 11 verses of Matthew, based on the number 7. There are 49 Greek words used. That's 7 times 7. 21 of the words, 3 times 7, begin with a Greek consonant. 28 of the words, that's 4 times 7, begin with a Greek vowel. 35 of the words, that's 5 times 7, end with a consonant. And 14 of the words, 2 times 7, end with a vowel. Of the 49 words, 42 of them, 6 times 7, occur in only one form. 35 of these words, 5 times 7, appear more than once in the text. 42 of them, 6 times 7, are nouns. Of the 42 nouns, 35 of them, that's 5 times 7, are proper names. Of the proper names, they appear a total of 63, that's 9 times 7, times in the Greek text. 28 of them, that's 4 times 7, are male ancestors of Christ, and male names are mentioned 56 times in the Greek text here, that's 8 times 7. And there are even more features based on the number 7 in this passage. Did I snow you? If you would like to know more about the numerical designs in Scripture, go to our website, that's www.growingchristians.org, and click on lecture number 12 in my course, Christian Evidences 1. Obviously, these things can be carried too far and too much emphasis put on these designs in Scripture. But I do believe there are these literary and numerical designs in Scripture, which is another stamp of the supernatural on the Word of God. And remember, this is a genealogy of Christ. It'd be pretty hard for Matthew to arrange this himself. So don't dismiss the designs in Scripture.